All right, welcome to the Big Guns Football Podcast. I'm your host, Commissioner Jay. Welcome back to another season. Great football talk. Week four is pretty much in the books, except for the Seahawks at the Giants tonight. What do we know? I'll tell you what. Buffalo Bills, are they for real? Well, watch the game. Watch the last three games and tell me if they have turned the corner. Josh Allen looks like a totally different quarterback. He has matured in ways that, you know, a lot of people did not think could happen, including some of the Bills fan base. I'm not going to lie. We were at that stage where Josh Allen felt the need to throw 60, 70-yard bombs because he felt that that was his goal as the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. And that Jets game certainly solidified or fixed or humbled, whatever the word or adjective you want to use, definitely he's a changed man. The Bills offense taking what teams are giving them, using everybody on the team, and I mean everybody. Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, DeAndre Harris, Latavius Murray, James Cook, Dante Hardy, Trent Seifert, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis. Every single one of those pieces of the puzzle were used in the last three games, and it is great to see that because the Buffalo Bills certainly offensively have done a great job. But how about defensively? You know, Leslie Frazier took a step back, and I say that with quotation marks. Sean McDermott takes over as head coach slash defensive coordinator, and I'll tell you what, I am here for that. Sean McDermott looks like a guy who is in the zone. The defense looks like it's in the zone as well. The defensive line, the ends, the linebackers, the secondary, the play selection is just beautiful. And sure, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, so of course I have a lot of bias. But I'll tell you, when the Bills don't do well, I'm also the first one to stand up saying, you know, WTF. And, you know, the Dolphins, let's not take anything away from them and Mike McDaniel's team. But the Bills showed out, and they showed out at home in front of those fans on a beautiful day and did what a lot of people did not think was going to happen. They thought it was going to be a lot closer of a game. And lo and behold, you know, it happened. Switching gears and kind of jumping all over the place. Just some things off the top of my head on a Monday morning. The Bears. And I'm sure that everybody in the social media circle and on broadcast media TV are going to have their way with the Chicago Bears. But I'll tell you what, if you are Matt Eberflus and the Chicago Bears organization, you have to be very, very nervous. Now, you're at a point right now, you're 0-4, and Justin Fields had a good game. He really did. He showed out, played well, but your defense, or lack thereof, did not get the job done, and the Broncos came back from 21 to win the game, and people are going to say it's the Sean Payton sleeve game. Don't know what that's all about. Really don't care. But Russell Wilson had a good game. Justin Fields had a good game. But at the end of the day, the Bears did not. And they got to figure some things out. Do they want to move forward with Justin Fields? Do they want to go after the Caleb Williams sweepstakes? And again, you look at the way this is, that they have the potential of getting the first round draft pick and the second pick as well in the draft. So they could instantly improve their chances with two picks. And the Bears have to be considering that. But I would say if I'm the head coach and the GM, I am on the hot seat. Chicago fans cannot take much more of it. And that's really, you know, really all that I have to say about that. Speaking of teams that are struggling, the Atlanta Falcons, Art Smith, this team, Desmond Ridder, kind of not looking the part, kind of looking like a guy that could serve as a career backup. Just not a good job, especially when you have a guy like Bijan Robinson who just had a great game, just can't get things together. And this team, you know, has Kyle Pitts, and that experiment has been bad. You got a guy like Drake London. A lot of good pieces to the puzzle in Atlanta, and there was a lot of positivity at the beginning of this season. But I'll tell you what, the Atlanta Falcons are a bad team. Other bad teams around the National Football League, how about them Patriots? And you can't see my face, but you could probably hear it in my voice. There's a smile on my face. Bill Belichick and the Patriots have long stuck it to the Buffalo Bills and the AFC East for two decades. Well, Bill Belichick's time as a Patriots coach may be coming to an end. We'll see what Robert Kraft thinks about it. But as long as he starts a player like Mac Jones, and watching that game last night, or watching the highlights or lowlights, if you will, was an absolute disaster. Mac Jones sucks. I mean, there's no really getting around it. And Bailey Zapp, a guy that they waived, then they brought him back in, actually came in at the end of the game. Now you're talking about Bailey Zapp being the guy. Patriots have just missed the mark for so long. And I heard something this morning on one of the shows, and I want to say somebody said, you know, Tom Brady was the ultimate deodorant to mask the stink that was in the Patriots organization. And I just think that perfectly encapsulates what is going on in Patriot land. Tom Brady's not there, and the Patriots have been substandard, to say the least. Tom Brady was able to make wide receivers like Wes Welker and other players that, you know, have shown out to be a lot better than they were. And you see the great quarterbacks that are able to do that. Peyton Manning did that for years as well. And, you know, you just got to look at this organization and say, what are you doing? You have no clear direction, and you just look bad, offensively and defensively. And then word coming out this morning that Matthew Judon may be done for the year. That's a tough pill to swallow, I'm not going to lie. So, and then, you know, and then there's the Jets, you know. Our Jets fans this morning waking up saying that Zach Wilson, we feel so bad for him. He had a good game, but we didn't win. Are we okay to give him another chance? If I'm a Jets fan, I'm saying hell no. He lost the fumble. He lost the game for the team, and it's been a consistent thing. And I'll tell you what, the Jets had a very strong chance to beat the Chiefs, who really don't look that good. The Chiefs look like a team that is getting by and, you know, kind of doing okay, but they're not the juggernaut. And we know that Patrick Mahomes makes players, you know, better than who they are as well. But it's getting harder and harder. And I don't know if the Taylor Swift conversation is helping or hurting this organization. I know Travis Kelce hasn't shown out as the fantasy stud that everybody expect him to be. As it could be that he's in love. No one really cares. I like the fact that the Chiefs are not as good as they once were. Still have a 3-1 record. So, again, how bad are they? You know, you look at the Eagles. Eagles are 4-0. But the Eagles are not the dominant 4-0 team that they were last year. And they've been kicking butt and taking names, but they just haven't done it with the kind of veracity that they did last year. And I think it was really difficult to notice that. The Washington Commanders almost won that game. I would have went for two. That's just me. Ron Rivera did not. Eric Bieniemy did not. But Sam Howell and company had a really good game, and they should pat themselves on the back, because as the games go on for the Commanders, Sam Howell will continue to get games underneath his belt, and he will be in a better position going forward. It really seems that way. Speaking of crappy teams, how about them Steelers? Kenny Pickett, he's out, and I don't think that's going to be really a bad thing. You know, Mitchell Trubisky's going to come in, and Trubisky shows, you know, flashes of brilliance for a game or two, and then he comes back down to reality. But we may see more offense coming from Trubisky than we did Pickett. Pickett just seems lost out there. He just doesn't seem like he's got what's going on. Steelers feel the need to continue to back the play of Najee Harris when they got an explosive guy like Jaylen Warren that's back there. The wide receiver situation is a mess. Pat Freiermuth is a mess. Sure, they got T.J. Watt, but he can't do it all. And I believe in Mike Tomlin. I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan. But I honestly think that the Steelers are going to have to make some drastic changes. And I don't know what those drastic changes are. I think the future is not bright for Kenny Pickett and that Steelers team. But, you know, we'll see what happens. The Bengals. Now, there's two schools of thought in my mind right now. And one of those is Joe Burrow washed up? Is he a fake? Is he a Fugazi? Or are we saying that that leg injury is hampering his throwing ability? Now, I get it. I mean, if you can't step off a foot or step into a pass or throw off your back foot or whatever the mechanics may be, you are playing at a disadvantage. But if you remember back when this injury happened in preseason, Jamar Chase made a comment that stuck with me, and he said, hey, look, I'm okay with Joe Burrow coming back in week number 5. I'm totally good with that. I think that injury was so big, but I think that they just signed Joe Burrow to a monster contract, and Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow had this thing saying, you know what, I'm so good that I can look past this injury. Look, bro, he's no Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes was playing on one leg at the end of the season last year, and you know what? Joe Burrow's not as good, and I've never been a fan of him, so I have some Bengal hate. But this team has got some frustrated players. Now T. Higgins is hurt. Jamar Chase is saying he's always effing open, and, you know, he's not wrong. The running back situation, Joe Mixon project, I don't know how long we're going to wait on that. But this team is deuced this year, and we're looking at it through 4 weeks of play. If Jamar Chase was right on the whole 5 weeks, now we might have to wait, you know, another 5. And I think they're out of time. That division is not in a good situation. To say that the Titans are still in the mix is scary. Ryan Tannehill should not be in that situation. This team should not be playing good football right now. They have some components, and again, they do what they have to do. And the Jaguars played off against the Falcons. I guess I didn't get to see that game because it was on stupid ESPN Plus, NFL Plus. But again, Jaguars did what they had to do, and the Jaguars should be in the mix this season, and they should be really vying for the chance to become, a very good team. They had some hiccups. They had some bumps in the road. But I believe in Doug Peterson. I believe in Trevor Lawrence. And, again, you know, good stuff for them. Speaking of good stuff, the San Francisco 49ers, they're just a good team. Christian McCaffrey, damn good running back. Brock Purdy, stop talking about the Mr. Irrelevant. He is very relevant. This guy gets it done. Brandon Ayuk gets it done. Kittle gets it done. It's just the defense gets it done. Shanahan gets it done. They're the team to beat, in my eyes, in the NFC. And I think the Buffalo Bills, as of right now, are the team to beat. And I don't want to put the Buffalo Bills on the radar because the Bills never do well when they're on the radar. So just keep playing the underdog role. Keep crapping on Josh Allen and the Bills. We like to play from that position. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's all the news and notes I have for this morning. Just some common thoughts before I go to work. I wanted to fire those off. If you like what you heard, hit that subscribe button. Talk to you soon.